Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
We'll do our best. Good afternoon on this Wednesday afternoon. How are you? 51551 ray at rte.ie. It has cleared up in Dublin, just for your information. It was pretty wet this morning and dark and miserable, but it's cleared up. And as I looked out, as I came down to the dungeon here, blue sky with those lovely Simpson-like clouds. If you want to contact the programme about weather or other issues, 51551 ray at rte.ie. The team are constantly scouring social media for things that they think you would be interested in and things that will embellish your life and make it a better world to live in. So this is a brilliant one. And it's advice for everybody, all generations, because it'll help everybody. Do you ever get that call? I've got it on numerous occasions from my son, daughter, wife, when I'd be out of the house and you get this call and it goes, they don't even say hello. They don't even say, how are you? Where are you? Are you, you know, can you take a call? Have you got a minute? It's the television isn't working. And then you have to try and talk them through how to fix the television. That one, you know, the other remote, not the big one, small one. No, not the Sky one, the other one. No, the one you have now, no, that's for the sound. No, you need the one, the grey one, yeah, okay. Now, do you see the button at the top left-hand corner? That one, no, that right up the top, and you have this conversation and you're trying to talk them through it. It's like trying to land a plane. You know, in the movies, when something happens to the two pilots and then somebody from the passenger has to come up to the cockpit and the guy back in the airport is guiding them down. That's what it's like when you're trying to tell somebody how to put the television on with remote controls. So here's a brilliant idea from Chris Callahan. Take a picture of the remotes and have it on your phone. See, so it could be your own remotes, it could be your parents' remotes, it could be somebody who's a bit of a technophobe. If they're in your life and they're constantly asking you for help to switch on the telly or record something or do that, take a picture of the remotes, have it on your phone, and then you can number them if you like. Chris doesn't suggest this, but you can number them 1, 2 and 3, and they will have the same picture on their phone, and you go, okay, go to, you know, remote control 1 or 2, and you see that button there with the thing on it, so yeah, just press that one, and then there. Genius, absolute genius. Thanks for that, Chris. I'm going to go home this evening and take a picture of all the remotes in the house and forward it to my son, daughter. Well, my son doesn't have a phone, daughter and wife. While we're on that sort of intergenerational stuff, Kieran, who is producing the show today, got a joke from his dad. Now, we wouldn't normally do this sort of thing, but it made me smile and made me laugh. So it's Kieran's dad's joke of the day. Kieran's dad's dad joke of the day, I suppose you could call it. Karl Marx is an historically famous figure, but nobody mentions his sister ever. You know, Anya. She invented the starting pistol. She did. Anya Marx. Anybody? No? No? Okay, fine. Be like that. I even had that. Doesn't even deserve that. Thanks, Kieran's dad. Thank you very much. Loads of talk since yesterday about nightclubs. And I'd love to know what percentage of the population actually frequent nightclubs. I think my nightclub days are over. And a lot of the people discussing the reopening of nightclubs, their nightclub days are over as well. Anyway, it's a big talking point, and they're working away in the corridors of power trying to figure out how things are going to work. Social distancing, dancing, slow sets. But DJ, Mango the DJ, from Mango X Mathman, it's like a different language, he took to Twitter last night and he posed the really important question. What are the guidelines to dropping Rock the Boat at a set? Anyone know? Aha! Do you know when you get, it's a 21st or a wedding, I used to do this, they probably still do it, they obviously do, because Mango, the DJ from Mango X Mathman, is asking the question on Twitter, that you do play Rock the Boat. Mark's going to get it from me now, and I'll play a bit. We used to actually do Get Down On It by Kool and the Gang. Get down on it. Anyway, people sit on the floor, and you back into the person. They have their legs apart, and you back into them, and you front, back, side. You know how to do it. Well, he's asking, what's the rule there? What's the guideline going to be there? And they're going to have to do that. They're going to have to sit in a room and discuss that. And then Micheál Martin or Stephen Donnelly be going, I don't know, I'm not familiar with Rock the Boat. And then some top level civil servant will have to call on his assistant, and they'll have to sit down on the floor and show them how it works. And then they'll be going, you ready? Here we go. And you go, front, back, left, right, front, back, left, right. Looking good. Rock the boat. I don't rock the boat, baby. Rock the boat. I don't tip the boat over. Rock the boat. I don't rock the boat, baby. Rock the boat. So that's how it works, Taoiseach. That's how it works. How are we going to sort that? There's no social distancing there. No social distancing. These are the important questions that come up on Twitter. They reckon that Elon Musk, one of the richest men in the world, could be the first trillionaire. Imagine that. Get your head around that. So a trillion is a million million. It used to be a million 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 back in the day, but now I think everybody agrees that it's a million million. At the moment, he's worth 241 billion. So he's a long way to go. But it isn't the old Tesla cars, etc., that's going to make him the money. They reckon, the people in the know, analysts at Morgan Stanley and the like, that SpaceX is the thing that's going to make him his trillion. A trillionaire. How do you feel when you wake up in the morning, even knowing that you're worth 241 billion? How does that make you feel? Another billionaire, I think he's worth 140 billion or something, is Mark Zuckerberg. And the news today is that Facebook, quite shortly, are going to change their name. And you might have heard about this virtual world they're hoping to create with 10,000 people. It's called the Metaverse. So this will be what you've seen in sci-fi. This is my understanding of it. What you've seen in sci-fi movies over the years, where you put on a pair of goggles and you enter into a world that's sort of, it's a bit of reality, but it's also this virtual reality. So you'll be able to go into, for example, you'll be able to go into a dressing room and try on clothes in this Metaverse. And that's the future. That's the future. And Mark Zuckerberg and the people at Facebook are putting their money on that, and they want to reposition Facebook. Probably a little bit to do with the fact that, you know, Frances Haugen, isn't that her name? She came out and gave that evidence last week to the committee in Washington. So they've had a lot of bad press. So maybe they just want to put Facebook behind them and they want to move on. What would you call it? Well, I know people would be shouting, Facebook, call it Facebook, Ray. Call it face billions of books. Call it that. Why don't you? So that's big news, because they have over 2 billion people who use Facebook. And it's a big decision to change the name. And it won't be like, you know, GIF becoming SIF or Snickers becoming Marathon. It's a bigger deal than that, lads. It's a bigger deal than that. So any suggestions for Mark Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg as to the renaming of Facebook? And they have money to pay if they use your name. That, you know, you could build them. You could build them for big cash. 5 on 5 5 on Ray at RT.ie. I'm listening to you from East London. My dad lives in Dunleary, and we have the remote control conversation twice a month. Gary, get him to photograph the remote controls left to right, number them, and then you're onto a winner. Just use FaceTime. Ah, yes, just use FaceTime. They see, not everybody has an Apple phone. You see, why do others in the family need the picture on the phone? They'll have the real controller in their hand. Yeah, but they need to see what you're seeing. Do you see what I'm saying? So when you say remote number one, they need the picture to know what remote number one is. Deirdre loved Kieran's dad's joke. Ray, politicians are already rocking the boat. Ba-dum-tish. Can they not sit socially distanced on the floor at the wedding and call it Rock the Canoe? I like it, Eamon. I like it. Call it Safebook. If only it were Safebook. You know, Cambridge Analytics, the American presidential election, not the last one, but the one before that. And all that misinformation and disinformation about various things over the years. But anyway, yeah, it would be great if we could call it Safebook and be confident that the name suited the product. 5 on 5 5 on Ray at RT.ie. Now, we're doing the quiz today, but The bad news is that we don't need contestants because we went over time yesterday with Ivana Lynch. So we didn't do the quiz. So we have our contestants from yesterday. It's our Reeling in the Ears quiz. And there is a prize as well. I'll just tell you about the prize because we're contractually obliged to do so. So the people who are on today are in with a chance of winning a two-night stay for two people in the Hard Rock Hotel in Dublin. The Zampaz Experience. It's not called the Zampaz Experience. It's just called the restaurant Zampaz. And you experience the taste of Lima with Peruvian food in a coolly atmospheric vibe. You can get cocktails there and loads of other things. And of course, it's there in the middle of Temple Bar. Perfect place to do all you want to do in Dublin. Sightseeing, museums, shopping, anything you want to do. And you can find out more at hardrockhotels.com. Hardrockhotels.com. And we'll have our two people on after 4 o'clock in our Reeling in the Ears quiz. And I'm looking forward to that. We're looking forward to getting it right by the end of the year. Not by the end of the week. By the end of the week. It's a new quiz, you know, so it takes, you know, sort of teething problems, settling in, all that. 5 on 5 on Ray at RTE.ie. Now, do you want Lewis Capaldi or Harry Styles? Lewis Capaldi or Harry Styles? One for Lewis. You're going one, Lewis Capaldi? Lewis Capaldi. Okay. 5 on 5 on Ray at RTE.ie. Good afternoon. Lewis Capaldi, before you go, on RT Radio 1, 5 on 5 on Ray at RTE.ie. Farcebook, Anne-Marie Kennedy says. How about Faceache, Richard in Tullamore? We have too many TVs and controllers, so which one has the problem? Yeah, that's Catherine's problem. She's too much going on. And Anne-Marie in Camare says, in the age when we were less tech savvy, there was a story of the young fella sitting to leave in certain maths, and the urgent message was sent home that he forgot his calculator, and the mum arrives in with the TV remote control. That's Anna Marie in Camair. Well, Anna Marie, that actually happened to a friend of mine. His name is Darren. I don't know if he's listening now, but hello, Darren. And that's his party piece. He tells the story about being in the junior cert or the leaving cert, and he rang home to say that he'd forgot his calculator and his mum arrived in with the TV remote. That is a true story. That is true. It happened to Darren. And on jokes, some Halloween jokes, what do vampire doctors say to their patients? I don't know. What do vampire doctors say to their patients? Next, please. Maniacal laugh. This came into Ray at RTE.ie. My husband began your marathon challenge back in January. He joined the online forum and connected with two amazing ladies, Caroline and Ali. We organised that they both visit us here on the amazing Cliffs of Moher and walk the cliff. And so began the Cliffs of Moher challenge. Unfortunately, Ali couldn't make it, but there was no stopping the other two. And this is the pair of them at the end of the Cliffs of Moher cliff path. Yay, Caroline and Paul. Super proud of you both. So that's what they're doing. And they're doing GoFundMe.com. Ali is fundraising. There you'll find that. So that's from Emer Bowen. And just while we're talking about Ray's Marathon Challenge, I mentioned it already, but I'll mention it again. The 11th of December, we've managed to get the Phoenix Park for a half marathon and a 5K walk, run, whatever you want to do. And everybody is welcome. Everybody is welcome. Details are on the Laura Lynn website. And I know people have been starved of organised runs, people who run and walk. And it's nice to get in with a group of 1,000 people or whatever. And the Phoenix Park is probably one of the nicest venues for a half marathon in the country. So December 11th, if you want to be involved, go to Laura Lynn and we'll see you there on the morning of December 11th. Now, 5 on 5 on Ray at RTE.ie. We have a quick commercial break take.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray at RTE.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good afternoon, Daniel O'Donnell.
Hello, Ray. How are you doing?
Listen, you're creating a bit of a story. You're making waves on social media today with your new video.
Literally making waves.
Listen, yeah. It's down at the La-Di-Da. We're going to play a bit of it and then we'll have a chat. Okay, here it goes.
Okay.
Down at the La-Di-Da, there's a perfect margarita in a mason jar. At the end of the world in a sea of dreams, where the ocean smiles and the seagulls scream. We all know just how lucky we are. Down at the la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Hands in the air! Here we go, side to side. Everyone land. That sounds like it's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. It is. I think this is going to be your biggest hit ever. I'm not joking.
Do you know, Ray, I have Ronan Collins to thank, really, because I was in the car one day just during the summer and Ronan played Jimmy Buffett singing the song. I had never heard it before.
Yeah.
And I was listening to it. It just came on, or maybe I turned on when it was on, because I didn't hear him introducing it. And I thought it was a singer from home that had a new record out, and I thought, my first thought was, oh God, why didn't I get that before anybody else? You know, because I would never record something. I thought it was maybe one of the young singers that had a new record out, you know. But I thought, God, this is going to do really well for them. And then when he finished, he said that was a Jimmy Buffett track, and I thought, well, Jimmy Buffett wouldn't care what I did, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I can record that. And I immediately contacted everybody, Kieran, my manager, and the producer of the album, and said I had another song that I wanted to record, even though the album was finished. And we went ahead and did it. And then there's a couple of lads up at home. They have a company called React Productions who make videos, Sean Dugan and Kieran McCann. And they had contacted me before COVID to see about doing this video that they had an idea for a different song.
Mm.
And I was said, sure, we'll do it, because they're very creative. And then that was all obviously wasn't possible because there were going to be a lot of people involved in it. So when we did this, I says, why didn't we contact Kieran and Sean because to see would they be able to do a video for this? And totally their idea, what we see on the video. I had nothing to do with it, you know, other than I was there, obviously.
Yeah, it's a dream world. It's a dream world.
A dream world.
Yes, and it's down at the La-Di-Da, which is one of those beach huts that you get your large, colourful cocktails in with an umbrella and a straw. And you're... I'll tell you, I'll be smiling for the rest of the week as a result of it. It's and I see it's like over 40,000 views already, and it's only up a couple of days. So this is going to be big. This is going to be big.
Well,
Daniel,
you know, when I first saw it, I just smiled too.
Yeah.
You know, nothing to do with me. I just looked at me and thought, oh my God, this is just so much fun.
Yeah.
And like we're on tour in England and we're doing the song, and the song itself is so catchy, you know. And it would be lovely. I mean, I'd love if it was a hit, it would be super
obvious.
The
only thing your fans will be a little bit disappointed about is that you didn't don a Hawaiian, one of those, you know, those little skirts that they wear.
Did I not go far enough with the grass skirt? God bless. Yeah,
and it's great because you're water skiing, you're all sorts of things, and it's part of the album you mentioned is Daniel O'Donnell 60, because December the 12th this year, Daniel O'Donnell, you will be 60.
I know this is a lovely 60th birthday present to have, you know, a bit of excitement over a song and a video.
Yeah.
And the album, I mean, the album obviously is out, and we're here on tour in the UK, and it's doing well in the charts. You know, the Adele has an album out, Coldplay, the Beatles,
yes,
and we're all up in the top five. I mean, I just can't believe that all these names are being mentioned along with mine in the charts. But Adele passed me. I was at 3, and now Adele is actually after pushing me down
to
4.
How dare she?
But you never know now in Ireland. We might get a bit further up with the La-Di-Da.
But it's odd.
So it is available at home too, you know, that's in the shops at home. So,
but there is a connection there between yourself and Adele. Her album is called 30, and you're Daniel O'Donnell 60. Yeah,
I know. I have two 30s.
Yeah, two 30s.
I said to the people, I joke with the audience saying about, you know, Adele having 19 and 21 and 25, and now she is 30. And I says, I have 60. I says, that means, I says, when I was 30, she was nothing.
What about hitting 60? Is that a big thing in your life, or it's just a number, or what?
I don't mind at all. I'm just delighted to be, you know, to be 60, you know, because to be well and be happy and doing what I'm doing. And, you know, I've been very lucky throughout my life, and we just had another grandchild on the 7th of October, a wee boy called Luke, Siobhan and Gavin. So we have Archie and Olivia and Luke, and, you know, it's just great to have them too. You know, the laddie da is one thing, but boy, the joy you get from them is surpasses any da-da.
Yeah, well, to be at your age and be so healthy, and you're looking very fresh in the video as well, and to have, you know, be able to enjoy your grandchildren. How's Magella and the rest of the family?
Magella's great, yeah. She's probably listening. Her and Marion, her mother, is living with us, so they're listening in Donegal. I'm in Carlisle.
Right.
We have a show here tonight. And then after we finish here in the UK, we're away to America, to Branson, and we'll be there till December, you know.
Yeah.
So hopefully, Killarney is our next dates at home in August. So hopefully by then, everything, please God, I know it's we've got another setback, I suppose, this week, and opening things up. But hopefully by next summer that things will be, you know, we'll be able to...
Yeah, fingers crossed.
And sing down at the laddie dance.
Exactly, they know all the words by then as well. They'll be able to sing along with you. Yeah,
not hard to learn it, you know. It's you know, so catchy. And, you know, Paul Brady was one of the writers.
Yes, I was going to mention that, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know all this. I just heard the song, and I just thought, this song is super. And that was, honestly, I thought, oh, why didn't I get that first? Because I really thought it was some young singer.
Yeah.
And I thought, sure, Jimmy Buffett won't mind. And sure, he'll make a few pound too.
Yes, and Paul Brady will as well. He's sort of rubbing his hands together. Listen, Dolores McKenna was on. My son played that song on video yesterday to his primary school class, and they loved it.
And he's you know, I thought children would like it too, you know.
Yeah.
They'll enjoy the fun of somebody at my age doing the silly things that's on the video, I would say.
Yeah. You're always up for the crack, Daniel Donald, and thanks so much for taking our call today.
I must say, the boys that did the video, React Production, not that I'm promoting them, I have nothing to do with them other than I know them. They are just so talented.
And
I think
job.
Whatever about my future, their future is going to be huge.
Yeah. So down at the Laddie Da, LADEDAH, just when they're putting it into the search engine, Daniel.
Uh-huh.
And I see you're trending on YouTube music-wise. You're in the top 20 trending music, so it's all good.
Lovely.
Great talking to you. Good luck at the gig tonight.
All right,
stay
thanks,
safe.
You,
mind
good
yourself. Bye.
La, 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 la.
Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, we've three men on a mission in Studio 7 with us, two Michaels and a Jamie, and they're here ahead of International Stuttering Awareness Day, which is happening on Friday, 22nd of October. And the mission they're on is to talk about stuttering, and in particular, they want an audience with one of the most powerful men in the world, who's also a stammerer, the President of America, Joe Biden. So to tell us about their stories and how they're attempting to get to Joe Biden, we welcome Michael O'Shea. On my right, how are you doing, Michael?
Hello, how
thanks
are
for
you?
Coming in.
Yes.
Jamie Googan, who we've spoken to before, down the back. How are you doing, Jamie?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
And Michael Ryan. We've spoken to you before, Michael,
how are you
as
doing,
well.
Ray?
So you're
good
all
to see you.
So we've three stutterers in Studio 7. Yeah.
That's correct.
Do you think that's a first, Michael? Do you think it's a first?
Three professional stutterers.
Right. Come into the microphone a bit. Now, because we haven't spoken to you before, Michael, I'll just get your story. Yeah. You've given me your book, Why I Called My Sister Harry.
Yeah.
And what was your sister's name, or is your sister's name?
Mary. And I wasn't able to say it.
Yeah.
Because my own name, Michael, I wasn't able to say Michael, so I had great difficulty with M's. And why I married a woman called Monica, I never know.
And you were still stuttering at that stage.
I was still an out-of-control stutter, yeah. Like, I would block, if I was having a conversation with you now, I would block very severely on probably 8 out of every 10 words. So, like,
when you say block, what does that mean?
I mean that if I said Michael, we'd say, hey, why you say Michael? And I'm able to bring it back very, very quickly. It would be Michael, I would really struggle, the articulator struggle. But that was all of the tension and anxiety and stress that was inside, because I was projecting how I was feeling inside.
Yeah.
Because with stuttering, you see, it's fear, stress, anxiety and tension. And if you have a combination of all of those while you're speaking, you just won't be able to speak.
And all of that happened to you when you were in school?
Yeah, I was in school and it was triggered in school at the age of 4. It was triggered again about 3 years later. I didn't speak the first time for about 3 months, and then I stuttered. No, I didn't speak for 3 months, and then I stuttered. And then the same trauma happened again. and I stuttered again, but I got the message that if I stuttered in front of adults, that it would end up in physical pain, and that was the trigger. So trauma, and I didn't realise, sure, if you're 7 years of age, like, how do you know what trauma is? But that affected me.
So there were adults, I mean, you don't need to specify who they were, but course, there were adults in your world who were punishing you for stuttering.
Yeah, and the message I got that if I entered into that world with adults and I stuttered in front of them, it would end up in physical pain.
Yeah.
But it was also psychological pain. And it took me a long, long time to deal with that. And at the time, there was no such thing in Ireland as speech therapy. I mean, to say that was in 1959, I started school, and 3 years later, I was 62. The first speech therapist, and it wasn't even a qualified speech therapist, it was a nun actually, who came back from Africa from the missions, and they were trying to get her a job, and they put her into speech therapy, and you see her twice a month in Kilkenny, a lovely, lovely, lovely human being, Sister Monica. Monica again.
God, they were throwing it at you, left, right and centre.
But after about 2 or 3 weeks with Sister Monica, I could speak to her very calmly. But the one thing, Ray, I noticed, right, and it used to drive me crazy, was if I was on my own, I did not stutter. If I was reading a book on my own, I did not stutter. But if I was at home in my own house and if I saw the handle of the door in my bedroom moving, bang.
Gone.
Gone.
Can you describe, because Jamie described it to me and I've spoken to the other Michael about it before, but can you describe then that process that happens in your brain?
The process in the brain is very, very simple. You have a fear of speaking because you're going to be exposed for being a stutterer. So you have fear.
Right.
You have stress before speaking. You have anxiety before speaking. If I was to come in here 22 years ago, I would probably have a cardiac arrest.
Outside, before you even got in.
Because all the stress, anxiety and tension.
So you were in your 40s then before you sorted it out?
I was 44 years of age. I met great people, a great community of people, and I went looking for people. Mm. If I met you and you were a stutterer and I heard you speaking, I wanted to meet you. I would buy you lunch, I'd buy you a drink to get inside your head. What did you do?
Uh-huh.
And those people gave me vital things that I needed to do because I needed to follow every one of them.
Yeah.
I needed to learn the power of resisting time pressure and all of that stuff. So I had to learn to speak over again.
Now, just I'd say everybody's story is different.
Different, yeah.
And it's case by case. But are you living with it or have you recovered from it?
No, I am not cured. I'm not fixed. Thank God. 98% of the time my speech is fine. But it's complicated. It's the neurons in the brain, how they fuse and everything from your past history of stuttering.
Right.
So you can have a neuron in the brain. I may have a blink in my eyes. I may have a little blip on a word. But the thing is that I've lost the psychological impact of stuttering.
Yeah.
I don't feel like a stutterer and I don't behave like one either.
No, and you're a great talker. Yeah. I'm intrigued to know about your wedding day.
Mm. The wedding day was very, very simple. I was dreading my wedding for about 2 years because I knew I had to make a speech.
Mm.
Built our own house. So my time was consumed by working, building our own home. But I knew that day was going to come. And my wife will tell you, she's out in the waiting room now. When I got up to make a speech at my wedding vows, my voice was so low you couldn't hear me. Do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? I do. Nobody could hear it, except the priest saw
my Monica
moved. But anyway, I was so tense, and she said this afterwards. We went on our honeymoon to the Isle of Man, and 3 days after, her wedding finger, her hand swelled up because I had her hand held under the desk.
So
and she told me, she said, if you had an 8 foot plank, 9 inches wide, 3 inches thick, and hit you across the chest, the plank would have snapped in half. She said, You're
so tense.
Yeah.
So
but
tense.
It's something, it was probably my pride that said, I need to do this. It was a non-mitigated disaster.
I know from reading about you that you were driven in other aspects of your life.
Overcompensation.
Yeah. So you went mortgage free at a very young age, built your own house, all that sort of thing. And you were driven as well, Jamie. And you told us, and just remind us about that moment There were two key moments, I think. One of them was when you went into secondary school and there was 98 other pupils and everybody had to say, hello, my name is, I'm from, and this is my hobby. And you were sort of 96th or 97th. So,
yeah.
So talk us through that.
So in my own life, there was two very key moments. One of them was my first day inside secondary school. There was 96 individuals in a room and it was the assembly. So they had to go through their names, where they were from, their hobbies, their interests. And I was the third last person. And I had to sit through every single one of them, say their names brilliantly. And I knew I was going to stutter and stutter bad. And I did. And it was the first time that I ever had a full room laugh. And I left that room, shame, guilt, and a lot of embarrassment, because in my mind, I knew I could do it, because when I used to go home and I was by myself, I used to speak perfectly.
Like Michael, yeah.
Yeah, and he used to drive me mad, because in public then I could not speak at all. And the next, then I went to MTU and I did my first presentation for MTU, and I couldn't get past the first slide because I couldn't say my name and I couldn't introduce the presentation I was talking about. And that was the second key moment, because I put myself into isolation and I isolated myself for 3 days. And this is where mental health comes in with stuttering big time, and we're combining the two. Because in those 3 days of isolation, I had extremely bad thoughts in my mind. And I knew I had two roads out. And I took one road and I reached out and I asked for help. And I got the help from Michael O'Shea. But the most important thing is that reaching out for help is one of the most toughest things anybody can do, because you have to want the help first and you have to accept in yourself that you need the help, and you're putting your trust into somebody that you don't know.
Mm.
So you're very vulnerable because you don't know that person and you're building on that relationship. So you're extremely vulnerable and you're putting your trust into somebody else,
yeah,
in the hope that they can help you.
And of course,
and I got that help from Michael O'Shea.
Yeah. And you had seen Michael on The Late Late Show with Gareth Gates.
Yes, yeah.
Gareth, he overcame his stammering. I was doing a bit of research this morning, and Ed Ball, you probably know this already,
Ball,
but
yeah,
Ed
yeah.
Ball, who the equivalent of Minister for Education, he was in the UK. And I saw a clip of him addressing the House of Commons, and he said something wrong, stumbled over it, and they all laughed. And he hadn't admitted up until then, and this is what you were saying, Jamie, he hadn't admitted that he had a problem with stuttering, and he was reluctant to tell people because he thought that was a sign of terrible weakness. And he was in this hugely powerful job. How could he possibly tell people that he had this flaw? But eventually he did, and it worked out for him. So you were in politics as well. That's what brings me nicely on to you, Michael.
Well, great to be here, Ray.
Yeah.
Great to be here.
But you were the mayor of Templemore.
I was, and I was on the town council. But
yes.
I suppose as a child growing up with a stammer, I had always that interest in politics, and I always was interested in people doing programmes like yourself, speaking fluently and all that kind of stuff. And I always had that dream. And then when I got the help, and Michael and Jamie were part of that help as well from 2004 on, my dream, I got asked to go forward for town council, thought about it, did the canvas, no hangers on. I knew this was a big step for me because I was challenging myself in speaking, going to the doorstep, telling people what I was going to do. I didn't promise anything, but it was a great honour for me to be on the town council. But apart from that, it was the everyday challenge of speaking to people every day on the street. I could say what I want to say. I could do what I want to do. That's what you do.
Yeah.
And
you didn't address the problem of stuttering until you were in your 40s.
That's correct. And it got to, at that stage, my confidence was gone. I couldn't even drive. My whole inner being was tore up. The fear, the anxiety, the stress. I was alone. I met my wife, Frances, in 96. She saw the person behind the stammer.
But you still had the stammer.
I still had it, and I still have the
stammer. Yes, but Frances saw in the privacy of wherever you were,
yeah,
that you the real
that's
Michael
right.
Ryan. Yeah.
She didn't let, as Joe Biden says, my stutter define right. who I was or am.
Yeah.
And that means a lot. And that's why we're here. We're here, just three ordinary people giving a message to anyone who needs help. Go and get it. We're there to push that awareness.
Now, I've heard this over and over again, the Maguire programme. Mm. And that's what you did, Jamie. And you were involved in that, yeah, Michael O'Shea. Yeah,
and still I'm involved.
And it's a short, sharp shock. 4 days, 14-hour days.
Intense. It's intense because basically we teach people the principles that are missing. Okay. Person who stutters just wants to get the speaking situation out of the way. They rush in. There's no resisting time pressure. There's no formulation. There's tension there. Everything that is in place is wrong. So when you resist time pressure, you're not giving your power away.
Yeah.
You're staying grounded. Mm. I am a person who is challenged by stuttering sometimes. Right? Assertive self-acceptance. Why do people go on any course, speech therapy, anything? Why do people reach out to get help? And I always say to people, if your challenge is stuttering, it's causing you pain, if it's causing you stress, if it's causing you anxiety and tension, do something about it. Mm. Reach out. And that's why our campaign is about stuttering awareness, the associated connection with mental well-being.
Yes.
And there's a big difference between mental well-being and mental health. It's mental well-being. You can look after yourself. You can go for a run, eat well, exercise, all that stuff. Transfers into mental health when you're getting professional help or you're on medication.
Mm.
So that's why we're here.
Yeah. And now we've a little clip from Joe Biden talking about his experience of stuttering. We'll just play that in and then we'll have a chat about him and your mission to get an audience with him.
What I found was I practiced. You know, all my colleagues kid me, as you heard, about always quoting Irish poets. Well, I had a book of Yeats and I'd get up in the night, in the middle of the night with a flashlight, and I'd look in the mirror and I would try to memorize what I could, another small book on Emerson quotes. I remember the first one, looking in the mirror with a flashlight in my face, because you get embarrassed because you can torch your face. And it's embarrassing. I would practice and practice and practice because I was determined to overcome it. I was led to believe I could. And I basically did.
There you go. And you could hear in the middle there that he stammered a bit.
Yeah. And it's when you go into that point of tension, you see, if you look at fear, you have a fear of speaking, you have a fear of being exposed of who you are, exposing yourself as a person who is different.
Mm.
That's the feeling. That feeling of difference happens when you're a child. We just say that you had three kids. One of them was challenged by stuttering. Maybe only repetition of words. And you're telling the child, slow down, take your time, take a breath, right? Mm. They have two brothers or two sisters. And immediately the feeling of difference hits them. And they say, why isn't Ray telling my brother and sister to slow down? Then they go to school and the teacher does it. Yeah. Or the teacher stops asking them a question. The feeling of difference again.
Well,
that's called primary stuff.
But here's the thing, and the three are completely 100% aware of this. But if there is a stutter in company, tension is created because other people feel uncomfortable, don't they?
Yeah.
And they try to do things which I'm sure annoy people no end. They try to finish off your sentence. They try to fill in the word, fill in the gap.
Yeah.
I'll give you a quick example of that. I was about 29, 30 years of age. I was at a house party. And during the house party, anyway, somebody decided to turn on the television and there was a film starting to come on. And it was about a fish called Wanda.
Oh, yeah. Kevin Kline's character has a stammer.
And
yes.
I was the stutterer. I was the fish.
No, not Kevin Kline, Michael Palin's
character. Michael Palin's character, But I was there, and the whole room, as you said, you could feel the tension.
Yeah, tension,
right?
Okay.
You could feel it.
Jamie, so this mission to get an audience with Joe Biden, right, what's the plan?
So we have now made contact with the White House, and our video to the President is in the White House for October 22nd. So hopefully member of President Biden's team will show Joe the video message that came from Ireland on October 22nd, which is International Stuttering Awareness Day. And all of this is through networking with people and, you know, with your own colleague, Brian O'Donovan, the Washington correspondent from RT, who is an amazing support to us. And we're in constant contact with Brian. And without people like Brian O'Donovan and Michael Collins, TD, Gillian Collin and Derry Canty, and the support from MTU, you know, these campaigns can't be a success. And yeah. You know, we have been speaking with a lot of parents now, and we have a Zoom call support group with parents of children who stutter so they can talk to other parents, and so that the parents aren't even alone anymore. There's a WhatsApp group now for parents and they can talk to each other, and we're connecting people and we're connecting their children as well so that they're not alone anymore. And yeah. that's the most important thing with this campaign, is that we connect the parents and we connect the children who stutter so that they're not alone.
And awareness is hugely important, Michael, isn't it?
Awareness
so
is,
so that's
absolutely.
Why you're up in Dublin. Up
yes,
in Dublin.
Up in Dublin and talking to TDs and yeah. talking to everybody. But I mean, Joe Biden is the driver, and I had the honour to meet Joe Biden in Dublin Castle in 2016, standing in the audience. He comes around, won't tell the whole thing. I spent 10 minutes in his company. I laughed and I cried. He's my hero. And I mean, to give that boost, and that's where the whole campaign is about, and it's about awareness, and we're meeting everybody we can meet.
So you get time with him. What happens then?
Well, we get time with him, and things are going to take off. We'll get time with other people. We'll get time with everybody.
Uh-huh,
and
see,
everybody
see,
will get
yeah.
time with us.
Then we make contact with uh-huh. the
So if you can pick up the phone and say, how are you? We've just talking to Joe Biden there. I want to have a chat with you. Suddenly everybody takes note.
That's yeah, it. Yeah. And that's what it's about other people. It's not about us. It's yeah. about the people out there, the silent person who maybe hasn't got help anywhere or doesn't know where to turn. That's what we're about, a simple message.
And does anybody know, Michael, I'll go back to you, Michael O'Shea, do you know where it comes from? Like, other people might have gone through a similar experience to you at school, and yet they didn't develop a stammer
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, I mean to say, like, a lot of people have it in their DNA, it's in their family history.
Uh-huh.
Like, I had an uncle, and he had a very severe stutter, and he was also my godfather. And it wasn't until that man was in his 50s that he said to my dad, he said, I'm sorry, he said, he thought he gave the stuttering
oh,
to
me. Yes, that is contagious.
That's
yes.
Stuttering is not contagious.
No. It's not.
But
no.
I mean to say, like, it happens. And there's 1% of the world's population who's challenged by stuttering.
It's odd, because you said that to me, Jamie, when you were on before. And I watched a BBC report from when Joe Biden got elected. And there's a BBC news producer who used to suffer with a stammer, yeah. and she said it's 3% in the UK. Well done, Michael O'Shea. The lives you've changed for probably thousands of people at this stage who suffered from the horrible affliction of stuttering. Thank you, says John Barrett. And I want to say how proud I am of my husband, Michael, Jamie and Michael, on their hard work, dedication and commitment to the Stuttering Awareness and Mental Health Wellbeing Campaign to raise awareness. Michael, you mean the absolute world to me and our two boys, Shane and Edward. That's you. That's Francis, obviously. Onwards and upwards, lads. And I've a stammer from the age of 12 since joining secondary school. I'd love my name to be Harry, as I find it so hard to say my name, Gary. The physiological pain I went through was awful. I'm 46 now and still stammer, but I just don't let it affect me as much. Brilliant interview, says Gary. And you used to use your brother's name, Ross, didn't you, Jamie?
Yes.
Because you couldn't say Jamie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are actually meeting Ross after this.
You're meeting Ross after this, right? Could you please ask the lads if it works on young people, 12-year-olds? Dave wants to know.
Yeah, if they are a mature 12-year-old, generally it works best when they hit about teenage years, 13, 14, because they're that much more mature. But they can help a child as soon as they notice that feeling of difference. And this is what the campaign is all about, is to educate the parents what they can do.
Yeah.
It's to educate the teachers. The primary school ages of children. Remember, there's primary stuttering. From the child, the time the child starts to stutter is primary stuttering. That goes on to about 7 years of age. It goes into secondary stuttering. When it goes into secondary stuttering, psychologically they're aware, they've learned to hold back, they've learned to avoid, bang.
Okay. Listen, Liza, thank you so much for coming in. Now, was something like that, did that require an awful lot of energy on your part or not?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing started this time 12 months ago.
But even though I'm just thinking about coming in today.
Absolutely. The whole thing impacts. But people have been so good to us.
Yeah.
And we'd like to thank everybody. And anybody who wants to contact us can contact us. We're on Facebook and everywhere else. Get our numbers. We will talk to them. And, you know, and it's brilliant.
We talked to politicians today and we told them facts. Yeah. Right? We told them facts. If they don't put the money into us, who are they going to help? Right, most of our speech and language therapists are being exported, are going to work in other countries. We can help people, but we need to invest it, and we need to invest it in education and awareness and support.
I hope you get to meet Joe Biden when he comes to Ireland. Michael O'Shea, thank you very much. Jamie Googan, thank you very much. Michael Ryan, thank you very much. Thanks for coming in. Stay safe and good luck with everything. We take a quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, and Facebook, well, they're changing their name next week, but if you want to find out more about what we've been talking about there, facebook.com/ Stuttering Awareness Mental Wellbeing Ireland is where you'll find the lads, Michael and Jamie. Anish Toshinam, the Preef Skelton in Oakta, Marini Hulawan. Gurumagad, Marion, thank you very much. 515-500-RTE.ie. Well done to those lads. I've had a stammer all my life. I've got used to it and I've coped by avoiding certain words, those starting with SF or F sounds, for example, PH. Never went for training or help. I can't imagine talking publicly and not stammering, says that person. And yeah, each person seems to have a problem with certain sounds or letters, M or H or whatever. Another dad joke for you. What did the drummer call his twin daughters? And a one and a two. My dad was a drummer. He was. There's no gag there. It's true. He was a drummer. Okay, let's see if we can do this then. It's our new quiz, Reeling in the Ears. Sig Tune! We've borrowed a little from our friends in TV. We've gathered up sounds and clips from over the years and decades, songs, news reports and TV shows and movies. And we have two people lined up on the phone to come and answer three questions on three clips. Reeling in the ears. Get it? See? Yeah, yeah. There's a little twist. A short clip gets you 2 points, while a long clip, it's easier, gets you 1 point. There you go. And the prize today. Yes, we have a prize. It's a two-night stay for two people in the Hard Rock Hotel in Dublin. It's there in the middle of the city, perfect to go shopping, sightseeing, walking around, whatever you want to do. And you can find out more at hardrockhotels.com, hardrockhotels.com. Keith Pryor is on. How are you doing, Keith?
Ray, how are you?
You're in Ballyconnell in County Cavan.
I'm actually in Kilashandra at the moment, I'm working, but yeah.
Right.
I'm from Ballyconnell and living in Fermanagh, sorry.
Right, and you're in Kilashandra. You're a man of many mysteries, an inter-county man, and I suppose an international man. So what are you doing? What do you do?
Engineer in Kilashandra area.
Right. Who's at home?
My wife, Sinead, and four kids, Shea, Evan, Lily and Ella. She's probably on a school run at the minute, actually.
So that's, I don't know which order. Is it 7, 8, 11, 12 or 12, 11, 8, 7?
12, 11. Two boys, 12, 11 and 7 and 8, 2 girls.
Yeah, and are they all still at primary school or is the eldest?
No, 2 in primary and 2 in secondary.
Right, 11 and 12 year olds are, well, that they're...
Well, it's actually down in down the north, but we've been there.
Ah, I see, it's different up there. Different up there, yes, okay. So you technically live in Fermanagh?
Yes.
Right.
From Cavan, working in Cavan.
Right.
And go back to Fermanagh for sleep.
Right, okay. and you've been on the radio before doing quizzes?
I have. I was on with Larry Gogan, God rest him, a few years ago.
Right. Okay. And did you do well?
Some days done well, some other days not so well.
Right. Now you're up against Amy O'Connell in the beautiful Kilbritton in West Cork. Hello, Amy.
Hi, how are things?
Jamie, who is just in with us, is from Clonakilty, which is just down the road from me. So there you go.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. Is it nice down there today?
you know, it's not too bad. The sun was kind of out earlier. It's a bit dull now, but sure, it's not raining anyway. That's the main thing.
Yeah. And you're job hunting?
I am indeed, yeah.
And how's that going for you?
I've only been kind of job hunting now the past 2 weeks. Like, I suppose the big plan is to go for the Guards, so I'm waiting for the next recruitment to open up.
Right, and why the Guards?
I just think it's something I'd really enjoy. I think it's a very interesting job, and, you know, it's so broad. Like, there's so many different parts you can go into.
Yeah, and is there a family history?
Yeah, I would have had, my grandfather would have been a detective, and my uncle was a Guard as well, and just, I suppose, like, second cousins and things like that.
Yeah, so it is in the family.
Yeah.
So when is the next round of interviews then, or recruitment?
It was supposed to be sometime for this year, but I don't know. It could run into maybe early next year now. I'm not too sure. You just have to wait for the alert to come up on public jobs.
Right. And you've done college?
I've done college, yeah. I did business, but it's not really something that I want to continue on with.
It's interesting because in other countries they take police at two levels. You know, it's a bit like the army in other countries. You know, in the Irish army, you can go in as a sort of a private or a gunner, and you can also go in as a cadet.
Mm-hmm.
But in Ireland, on Garda Síochána, it's just everyone goes in the same way, don't they?
I think
they
do.
Yeah. But you would probably have ambitions to go into management, would you? Future commissioner?
We'll see. I'll get in the door first.
Yeah, see how it goes. Right. Okay. Well, listen, Keith and Amy, this is the first week of this quiz, so we're sort of, you know, easing ourselves into it. So we've three questions for you. Each question carries with it a clip. And you can choose to go for a short clip. And because it's shorter, it's more difficult. So you get 2 points for that. And if you go for a longer version of that clip, you get 1 point. Do you understand the rules of the quiz?
Yeah.
You do. Great. Okay. Good luck to you both. Here we go. Reeling in the ears. Now, the first question is on the telly, Keith.
Yeah.
So do you want to go for a two-pointer, as in the short clip, or a one-pointer, the long clip?
No, we go one race.
Oh, you're going for the short, the long one.
No, go for the long one, yeah.
Go for the long one. Okay, here we go. Have a listen to this.
Do you have a theory?
I have plenty of theories. Maybe what you can explain to me is why it's bureau policy to label these cases as unexplained phenomena and ignore them.
Okay, so the year is 1995, and that show you just heard there. Hit Irish television, Network 2 to be precise, for the first time in 1995. Can you name it?
Oh, it's 95. No, wouldn't have clue.
No, it was The X-Files. Okay.
Right.
So nothing there. Right. Amy, we're still on the telly from 1995. Do you want a one-pointer or a two-pointer?
I'll do a one-pointer, please.
A one-pointer. So you're going for a long one. Have a listen to this.
It's like all of my life, everyone has always told me, you're a shoe. You're a shoe, you're a shoe, you're a shoe. And then today I just stopped and I said, what if I don't want to be a shoe? What if I want to be a purse?
Okay, so that TV programme first aired on Irish TV on the 12th of September 1995. Can you name it?
I don't know it, no.
Are you going to take a guess?
I have no idea.
No, Friends. It's Friends.
Friends.
Okay.
God.
Right. Right. So no scores so far. Next up is In the Charts. How would you be on music from 1995, Keith?
Not too bad.
Not too bad.
Give it a go away anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so you're going to go for a one-pointer or a two-pointer?
A one-pointer.
A one-pointer. Okay. We want the singer or the song. So you get a point for the singer or the song from this number one from 1995.
I'm an educated fool with money on my mind. Got my 10 in my hand and a gleam in my eye. I'm a low-down gangster, set tripping banker.
So, singer or song? Either.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh.
I know what.
Not coming.
Not coming, Reno, sorry.
No. That's Gangster's Paradise by Coolio. Okay. Amy, we want someone on the scoreboard. Again, music from 1995. Are you going for a one or a two?
A one, please.
A one, okay. Have a listen to this. So, singer or song for a point.
Oh God, I know the song. I just can't.
No.
Say
it. It's there. Say it.
I'm a something man. I'm a. Oh. I can't.
No, you are a something man. You're a scat man. Yeah, that's
a
what you are.
A scat man.
Yeah, okay. Right, we'll have to go back to the drawing board on this one. Right, back to you, Keith.
Yeah.
This is your final chance to get on the scoreboard. It's in the news. So this is a news story from 1995. Do you want a long clip or a short clip?
Long, yeah.
You're going for a long? Okay, this will get you 1 point if you get it right. Have a listen to this.
I mean, it was entertainment from day one. From the time the car chase started, it stopped being about law or justice. It was about television. And I think it shows today.
I think it's appalling. He should have been found guilty.
Just looking at it down there, like, you know, the trial, like, you know, was bigger than the World Cup.
So that's a vox pop from 1995. Whose trial are they talking about?
95.
Whose trial?
O.J. Simpson.
Is the correct answer? Yes, yes, we got a point. Okay, I'm more excited than you are by that, Keith, as you can hear. Okay, Amy, this is the story now. You have a question to go. It's a news clip again from 1995. If you go for a short clip and get it right, you are today's winner. If you go for a long clip and get it right, then we're into a tie-break situation. The choice is yours. What are you going to do?
I'm going to take the long clip for the 1 point, please.
Okay, you're going to take the long clip and take your chances on that. Okay, have a listen to this.
Could I just say for the first time since the result has come in how absolutely delighted I am with this result for the thousands of separated people in our society who will rejoice tonight at the fact that finally there will be a law that will recognise the reality of their lives.
That's a clip from a Vox Pop from 1995 discussing the result of the referendum which was passed on which social issue?
Oh, is it father's rights?
Say again?
Father's rights?
No. Divorce. And the referendum, very close, 50.28% in favour and 49.79% opposed. Okay, I think we've probably pitching them too hard, but we do have a winner today, and it is Keith. Amy, we're going to send you out a couple of Radar Show mugs. Thanks for being still our little guinea pigs, our quiz test dummies. But Keith, you're our winner today and you are off to the Hard Rock Hotel in Dublin. You can go to hardrockhotels.com, you and a person of your choice, for 2 nights.
Lovely, Ray.
Okay, well done, Keith. Thanks, Amy.
Hard luck, Amy.
See you. Bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah. Owen Colfer, good afternoon.
Ray, how's it going?
It's good to see you in person.
It's nice to be here. It seems like days. Well, I'm in here all the time.
But you're not in...
In this studio.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but and we've spoken a lot over the last 18 months, but it's always been on Zoom or the phone or something like that.
It is nice to be here. It's nice to be coming back into the studios again.
Yeah.
I didn't notice there was lots of parking here now. So.
Well, a lot of people are working remotely.
Yeah. I think in RT people always work remotely intellectually. So.
You might think that, but I couldn't possibly comment.
I'm not talking about anyone specific.
No, of course you're not. Of course.
Certainly not Radio 1.
Get what they deserve. Nothing to do with people who work in RT. It's the name of the Fowl Twins.
It's the...
third of the trilogy.
Yeah. Oh, it's the last nail in the Fowl coffin. That's it now. I'm done. So this is the final Fowl adventure.
So this would be 13, I suppose.
I think it's 13. That's not even including the various graphic novels and other kinds of presentations. But yeah, for me, that's it now. That's not a great advert for a book.
No, but fans of Artemis Fowl and the Fowl Twins will love this. But it's obviously a sad day for you that you're saying goodbye.
It's kind of sad, but also you get to a time where you feel that I probably wouldn't be allowed to do jury duty now if anyone looked at my resume. So it's time to move on to more grown-up stuff like dragons, time travel.
Because I was just reading there, you met Seamus Heaney once, and this is a thing you've spoken about before, so it's obviously always there at the back of your head that you've not been taken seriously. This is the man who's a brilliant poet. You could have asked him about anything.
Yeah, but could you do a leprechaun story? That's what I want to know.
And what did you ask him?
I said to, you know, first of all, he used to kind of ironically call me Dr. Colfer every time he saw me. And I met him in the airport in New York once. I said, Seamus, how's it going? And I was kind of needling him, and I was saying, you know, Seamus, why come you win all these medals? And, you know, I've only won like 2 awards. You've won about 50. He said, what's the difference? And he said, Owen, I have a linen cap. And I think that's what he was saying. He's been very nice. So
wear a hat.
Get yourself a cap.
I've noticed that Joe Duffy has taken to wearing a hat.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, he wants to be taken seriously.
Gets
a hat.
Yeah. And not a baseball hat. We're talking something.
A proper, like, floppy linen hat or something.
Right.
A flat cap, maybe. Yeah, okay. That's what you want.
You don't want to be taken seriously, though, do you?
No. I did once. I think after about 10 years of writing kids' books, I did a few adult books.
Yeah. I remember a soldier returning from the Lebanon.
Yeah, and I did a lot of research into that. And it did really well, but I didn't feel any different. And I still wanted to write the kids' books, so that I just went back to it.
Hmm.
I do the odd. I mean, I did High Fire a couple of years ago. And that was my most successful book, I think, since Artemis. So,
And you said you did that graphic novel.
Yeah, Illegal.
Yeah.
That was quite serious.
Yes, that's serious message.
I need to work with someone else if I'm being serious, because I just can't. I just don't have the temperament after about 5
Sorry,
minutes.
Well,
you know me. Yeah. You know what I'm like. So after about 5 minutes, I just can't. I just start making jokes. And so you need someone serious-minded to tell me this is not the place for that joke, you know. This is a really serious subject. So usually if it's a serious thing, I'm working with someone else
who brings the serious to it.
Yeah.
It's a big week in your house.
Yeah,
because you're the release of the book.
Yes.
So that's one thing. And the other thing is, I don't know if it what which is more important, is that you're celebrating your 30th wedding anniversary
on the same day. Yesterday the book came out on our wedding anniversary, myself and Jackie, 30 years married. So yeah, that is obviously the more important thing.
Obviously
Ray.
And so 30 years.
Yeah.
My word.
Yeah.
Childhood sweethearts.
We met in Leaving Cert at a debate. So
they were great for meeting the opposite sex, weren't they?
Just
debates.
Get you out of the school and off to see someone in a skirt who was not a Christian brother. It was great. So I saw Jackie going in her green uniform, and she had little punky spiky hairdo. And I said to my friend, "Who is that?" And he said, "That's my first cousin." I said, "Come here and give me a hug, pal." So he organised an intro, and a couple of weeks later he met out of Cayley, and from there it was a No Name Disco, if you remember those.
I used to DJ at No Name Discos all over the country.
Yeah, they were great.
Yeah.
So if you don't know, it was a disco for kids and there was no alcohol.
Mm.
And we hit it off there. And it was there I heard the second best insult I ever got, because it was kind of meta. We went to the fancy dress, and I think Jackie was Catwoman, and I was David Bowie. I had the stripe on my face, and some fella said to me, "Who are you supposed to be, David Bowie?" And that was, and you think about that as genius. It's like, you're obviously not David Bowie, or your fancy dress is the worst thing ever. And the best one was also Wexford, when I told you this, when I was shouted at from a guy in a doorway. And this one, Artemis was number one all over the world. And he said, "Ha, would you look at him and his books?" It doesn't even mean anything, but it's brilliant, because he's taken your only positive and turned it into a negative.
It's like, and what is implied there is, who do you think you are with your books?
Yeah.
Who, look at you. Who do you think you are with your books?
As if you think that makes you somebody, which I did.
Yeah.
And so it was very good.
So 30 years together.
Yeah.
And Jackie reads every book.
Well, I would say she reads the novels.
Right.
She's kind of my first port of call with the novels. And I can tell watching her, like, how many laughs per minute, or how, if it's good or if it's working. So, yeah, she's always been my kind of, my partner in everything. So we're writing as well as kids and life. So, yeah, I've been extremely lucky.
How did you celebrate the 30th?
We just had a nice dinner last night, and we went to a lovely restaurant, Brasserie in Monkstown, and they brought us over a little cake and had a little song. And I was showing them pictures of us, you know, 30 years ago, and they were saying, "Well, Jackie hasn't changed." And they kind of look at you as if, "You mean your hair wasn't always white?" You know, so... But they're great. They're really nice.
They should have hair.
Yeah.
Listen, See, I didn't know, and I just went through. Do you play vinyl at home?
Play vinyl?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I thought I said violin there.
No, violin. So yeah. Wait, would you go for Beatles or Nirvana?
Oh, Beatles. I just start. I'm a huge Beatles fan. Just in the last year.
There you go.
You're kidding.
On air, live at the BBC, Volume 2, The Beatles, unopened.
That is, Ray, that's fantastic.
Three heavyweight vinyl discs, including 37 previously unreleased tracks.
That's great, because I'm having dinner with Paul McCartney next week.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. No. Usually you go for those, but even that was too much.
I never go for those.
No, you should.
I just let you think you'd get away with it.
Well, you're a very good actor then.
So you are obviously Paul over John.
I think I would be, but my favourite song I think is Day in the Life, and that's Paul and John. It's really actually divided into Paul and John, so it's I love that song.
And has that documentary, is it out yet, or is it
no,
coming out?
I think it's out November, December, but it looks amazing. It looks absolutely fantastic, so I can't wait to see it.
Jenny was entertaining me one of the days over the weekend. She was reading an interview with Paul McCartney about yesterday.
Yeah.
About he woke up in the middle of the night and thought it was a song that he'd heard somewhere.
I heard that. I've done that with entire books. I wrote a book and I went, oh my God, that is almost exactly like The Count of Monte Cristo. So, and I still published it. But
how do you protect, because the last time we were talking, it wasn't on air, you recommended Ian McGuire's book.
Oh, The North Water.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic book, yeah.
Yeah, so I've started, but Books for Work took over.
Yeah.
So I'll go back to it. And it's on BBC now with Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell.
Have you watched that?
I haven't, but Colin is getting amazing reviews.
Yeah.
And I have seen about 2 seconds of Colin in the Batman movie, like everyone else has seen the trailer. And he just steals. If you can steal a trailer without having a costume on you, if you can, in a fat suit, steal a trailer from Batman, that says something about your acting.
Because he was in Artemis Fowl.
He was.
The movie, yes. Yeah. And you met him?
I met him years ago. We did an amnesty thing in New York and he was the MC. And he's the most charming guy. Everyone just, he just walks into the room and everyone loves him immediately. He's one of those guys.
Uh-huh.
I think him, you know, possibly, and Joe Duffy have that. The only two people I know. And Dustin maybe. And that's it.
Oh, yeah. So will you be going back on the road now too, that lockdown is sort of over?
I just got my first invite to a festival yesterday in 2022 in Belgium. So obviously the Belgians are the outliers, so they're starting to invite people to their festivals already. But I mean, we were supposed to be in New York this week touring, and we were kind of dovetailing that with the anniversary, and Jackie was going to come over, we're going to have a nice time. So I was disappointed that was cancelled. But yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back out on the road and meeting people. But I am stepping away a bit from all that as well. I've been doing it for 20 something years now. So I'm slowing down a little bit.
Retiring? No.
No, I'm not retiring, but I probably just won't do these long 2 month tours.
Yeah.
I'll just do festivals and nice things like that. So I'm looking forward to that.
What would you, what's the thing that you think you might do, but maybe you think you can't do? Do you know what I'm saying?
Tightrope walking.
No, I mean when it comes to writing.
Oh. I would like to do a romantic comedy. I have a great idea for a romantic comedy. It's about a friend of mine who was a composer and a conductor, classical, and he had a very strange adventure in France. And if Sarah's listening, he knows the one I'm talking about. And I'd like to write that. So it's like a romantic comedy based in the classical music world.
Right.
Which is, I don't know.
A novel or a TV program.
A novel, yeah. So I can just see myself writing it, and every page you try, I'd be saying, no farts, no fart jokes, don't do it. And try and stay serious for the entire book. But I'd love to
do that. And would you have to have love scenes in that?
I've tried to write love scenes for my adult books. I just can't do it. It just seems so silly. I mean, and it's not that they're silly. It's just that I can't write them. The only love scene I ever liked on telly was a movie called The Tall Guy, I think, and Jeff Goldblum and Emma Thompson were in love, and they had a love scene. And it just, everything happens as it does happen, you know.
Yeah, in real life.
Yeah, yeah, and I thought, fair play, that looks great.
Yeah.
But the kind of, you know, the Sean Connery type things.
Yeah.
I don't. Are the 50 Shades of?
Because you know, Sally Rooney was talking about her love scenes, and she had sort of a bit of a speed wobble.
Yeah,
thinking they should be taken out, and then the editors convinced her to leave them in. Would there be a case, for example, if you went to, that you
with Artemis Fowl?
That no home. That if you got to write this, that you draft somebody in to write the, you know.
Yeah. Are you auditioning here?
Feature. Love scenes by.
I know. One time I had a love scene in the first crime book.
Yeah.
And there was a love scene in there, and I'd written it, and I remember going to talk to my mother, and she said, yeah, you're doing a crime book. And I was like, she said, yeah. I said, well, I can't wait for me and the ladies group to choose that as our book. And I said, right. Sorry, I know Mom's listening, so sorry, Mom. But I just don't know what it is about. Maybe it's an Irish thing. I just feel a bit silly trying to write those.
Get What They Deserve, The Fowl Twins, third in the trilogy, is out now.
It's out now.
You're in the Dublin Book Festival, and you can find out dublinbookfestival.com about that November 12th. And you're also part of Wonderfest, wonderfest.ie. Say happy anniversary to Jackie.
It'll do.
Enjoy your week and whatever you're
doing. Thanks for this. That is a fun. That's the best present.
Enjoy.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's it from us. Cormac and Sarah on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. And whatever you're doing, do it safely. Yeah.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.